Welcome to the My Crazy Office Podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Katherine Crowley. They are committed to helping you navigate the hardest part of any job, the people. And now, here are Kathy and Katherine.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Katherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Here we are. I like the questions today. Why don't we just get to it? What do we have, Logan?
I'm in the midst of salary negotiation for a new job. I thought I'd made it clear that I wanted a salary within a specific dollar amount when the search committee asked what my salary range was. The official office letter that I received, however, listed a salary that is $5,000 less than the low end of my range. What should I do?
Oh, dear.
Well, I think it's a mistake that they made. But it may not be a mistake. But you can't be afraid to go back and renegotiate.
Uh-huh.
I think it's fine to go back and renegotiate.
What would you do? Call them? Send an email?
I think it should be a call.
Right. Because you don't want to put anything in writing necessarily in the game.
Well, things get read in a different tone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a phone call to just say, you know, this may have been an oversight or maybe... You know, this is what you want to pay. But after some careful consideration, I really need to stick to my original request.
Now, I thought I told you that my range is not that kind of tone. That's not good.
Well, I think you can take that tone if you don't want the job.
No, right.
I think what happens when people get this is they feel insulted. Oh, they don't think I'm valuable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they start to go down that rabbit hole. And then they're afraid to call up and say, oh, you may have made a mistake here.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I've really seriously looked at the numbers and I've done the math. I do need to stick to my guns.
Yeah.
$5,000.
Or I'll bring a gun. I think the problem.
Oh my God.
And go postal in this office.
Wow.
Murderous office.
I'm being very facetious. That, of course, would never happen. Actually, what I think what's true, what you were saying about the money, is that it's very tricky territory. And people who are great at negotiating all kinds of things may have a hard time asking for what they need in a salary discussion, right? Mm-hmm. So you might feel that, all right, I said it once, I shouldn't have to say it again, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Or maybe they wrote the wrong number down, or maybe, you know, you should, that's right. Yeah. I also think that you're not asking for a lot of money. It wasn't off by 100,000, it was off by 5,000, which I think if you figure that out a month is like $400. I mean, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
So I think it's standing up for yourself, and I don't, you know, many jobs would require that. They would require that
you stand up for yourself.
Right. And you're able to ask for what you want.
What I was thinking is that this person should hire you and have you help them write a script where, because you, when you were teaching sales, you always taught about how to handle the objections, right? So if they're afraid of hearing something like, no, that's, we can't do that, or that's not what you said, or something like that, that they can be ready to come back with a response. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's true. You know, many times if you just are not in sales, you don't deal with this on a daily basis. But people that are in sales or in a position of negotiating, they're, you know, this is like nothing for them.
Right. Talking money.
This is like, oh, so they made a mistake. I just have to call up and get more money.
Yeah.
Right. But if this is not what you do on a regular basis, you do want to hire me, or as Catherine said, or you do want to talk to somebody who knows
you want
how to
support.
Do this. Yeah.
Because it's a scary conversation if it's not your area.
Right.
You know.
Right. It shouldn't be, though, in that this is something that everybody has to learn in their professional life, how to ask for money.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to negotiate other things in your life. It's just not, you know, not just your job. Right?
So suck it up and learn the skills.
No, don't you have to negotiate? Don't you negotiate all the time?
One does.
I always am.
Yes, you
do. Can you do better?
Well, I'm not as good at negotiating as you are.
Yes, Kathy, you're like an expert in negotiating.
I'm very good at collecting money, but I'm not good at negotiating for it. So I think, and part of it for me is that I worry that I'm going to sound greedy or unappreciative.
Really?
Sure. So okay, I have to have a script for me to say what I need to say.
All right. So it's all of those emotions. See, this is, take the emotion out. This is really the bottom line with negotiating. Because it's true.
It's just about the money.
Well, no, it's about your value. Personal.
Right.
It's business. And there's always wiggle room in every negotiation. So I just negotiated our telephone contract with them.
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
And like, Catherine, I remember one day, you know, you said, oh, you know, respond to him. And I was like, no, I'm going to let him sweat.
Yes.
I'll respond to him tomorrow.
Yes.
And of course, I got what I wanted. You have to be willing to ask for things. They don't just come to you magically. And if you're somebody who things do come to you magically, that will stop one day. I promise you. That doesn't last very long.
Well, that's a good point. I think that if it's because this is all about asking. So if asking is difficult for you, then a salary conversation is going to be difficult, number one. And you may have some magical thinking attached to it. Like if I spit it out, it should just go the right way. Do you know what I mean? If I'm able to say, well, I need to be paid between 220 and 200, and they don't come in the way you want them to, then you may be sort of paralyzed, not ready to say the next thing you need to say.
Okay. You have to remember in business that people start out low.
Yeah.
Right.
In everything they do. I mean, if they're offering a salary, they're going to start out low. They're not going to start at the high end.
Yeah.
They're going to see if you're going to ask for more. If you don't ask for more, they look good to somebody else.
Right.
Because
they've done a good job of saving the company money.
Right.
So, you know, you have
to just... It's not personal.
It's not.
No.
It's just about money. And you have to know that in business, that there's always wiggle room. I think there's always wiggle room.
Yeah. Or if not, then it may not be the place for you. I mean, if you take a lower set, like if this person does not come back and say anything and instead takes the salary that's $5,000 less than he or she originally wanted, right, then that low range, then they may resent that from going forward.
I can guarantee they're going to resent that. That will be a sticking point every time something happens that they're not happy about, and I'm not getting my full salary.
Yeah.
That's going to come up. I mean, they sought after us to write the question. This is going to be an issue. So to ask for it, I think it's if it feels like a brave thing to do, a courageous thing to do, then, you know, go do it. You're doing it for yourself. This is a good thing.
And consider it a practice is what you're saying.
Right.
This is practice for life.
Right.
You'll have more conversations. Hopefully you'll have more conversations like this.
You know, there's a lot of books on negotiating skills, and they basically all say the same thing.
Yeah.
Which is that you have to be willing to walk away. You have to be willing, in order to ask for what you want, you have to know you may not get it, and that has to be okay. That's sort of the key to the whole thing, but you have to be willing to ask. You just really have to. And it's okay to always go back and say, I've rethought this, or I've thought more about it.
Yeah.
I've crunched the numbers. You know, this is not going to work. Mm-hmm. It's not you know what? The person who you're calling is accustomed to this.
That's right. That's their job. That's part of what they deal with these conversations.
You know, they don't, you know, hold the phone and say, oh my God, can you believe that this person? No, that doesn't happen.
I'm going to put them on speaker.
They just think, okay, you know what? Five is not even that bad. Okay.
Right. That's right.
So don't settle.
Yeah, don't settle. Go back and speak up for yourself.
Have that conversation. If you need to get support so that you know you have a script, so that the scary things, like if you're worried about certain comeback, you're ready to respond. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, good luck.
I'm recently out of college and looking for work in the music industry. Last week, I walked into a small music production company looking for part-time staff, and I'm pretty sure I smelled pot. The guy who interviewed me appeared very relaxed, and everyone else seemed a little lethargic. Mm. They offered me a job on the spot, but I felt a little uncomfortable. Is every music company going to be like this?
It's more than the music company. This is a pretty regular.
I kind of want to say yes.
Yeah, this is a pretty regular thing now. And I mean, you were saying, Catherine, you thought that pot was on the uptick. I think it's always been there. Maybe it is. Maybe,
well, I think that it's trumping... alcohol in many situations, in many places now.
Is it?
In other words, you can smoke weed through your workday, but you can't drink through your workday publicly now. Mm-hmm. I think that it's a more acceptable way of being, of having your mind altered throughout the day. Yeah.
Yeah, we work in sort of a funky building in Chelsea in New York where you smell pot in this building all
I do when I go down to the 8th floor to use a restroom. I always smell it.
Let me explain.
You hear
he goes
that
to
floor?
That bathroom because ours is under renovation for 3 years.
I don't want you to think that Logan just...
I just like to get a little extra cardio in for the day and go up and down the stairs.
By the way, I'm a little over the construction going on in this building. But anyway, this is sort of an indie building. It's all small businesses. Yeah. There's no really big spaces. And I know we're on the top floor, so people go up to the roof to smoke all the time. And I see them come down.
Yeah.
And they, you know, it used to be that they had a little bit of a shame walk. No more.
Right? This is very common in the music industry. Actually, when I was studying production, some of my teachers would give us a heads up about stuff like this.
Oh, really? It's talked about.
It's definitely talked about, especially in production and in studio.
Yeah.
It's very, very common to be around pot and to be around other drugs.
Yes. Well, that's what I was going to say. Right. You're entering and you want to be in an industry that, and it's part of the entertainment industry where alcohol, weed, and various drugs are sort of part of the territory. But I think that it is fair. I think one thing that you can find out is whether the company is like just a stoned, lethargic, not doing much company, because I've seen those, or where this is part of the activity, but there's a lot of creative stuff happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also think it doesn't really exist to this, you know, where you come in on the interview and smell it, in large companies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think
that's
it's not tolerated. It's mostly in the smaller businesses that are more, you know, just laid back.
Right. Well, and there's some probably companies and business, more mature business owners who are in recovery now after having abused drugs and alcohol for many years. You could look for one of those companies.
Oh, rehab.
In rehab, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sure, why not? I mean, you may be dealing with other issues in that kind of situation, but... who knows?
But I think that you're going to, you know, drug abuse is at an all-time high. I just think that you're going to run into this everywhere. But to comment on the interview that they were that laxed, that, you know, they didn't even say to one another, hey, you know.
So, you know, let's wait until after this person
company's coming. Open the windows.
Right. We're going to be interviewing somebody. And they didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I think that that's you basically saw who they are.
Yeah.
Right.
So if it's not for you, it's not for you.
Well, if you're a go-getter, which it sounds like this person may be, you know, more of a go-getter. So if the guy was very relaxed and everyone else seemed lethargic, again, just culturally, it may not be the best place for you.
And then again, it may. It depends.
Depending on your orientation.
Yeah, it's depending on what you like to do with your time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if it's sad. I don't know. I mean, when I first entered the workplace, alcohol was really, you know, you would go out to lunch and people would get drunk at lunch. And and nobody, you know, I was in the fashion industry. Nobody really had an issue with that.
Right.
I did. I thought it was boring that we really only had a 4-hour work day because by lunchtime, everybody was sort of out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know what else to say.
I don't know. I see why this person is uncomfortable. And if they feel in their gut that they shouldn't work there, then they probably shouldn't work there. But they should expect that, especially in a music industry, that they're going to come up with this issue pretty frequently.
It's the same thing as with the seller. You have to walk away if it's not acceptable for
you.
You're going to have to do some extra looking, probably.
So what did they tell you in school? How to deal with that? What did they say? Or just that you're going to run into it.
Just that you're going to run into it and be prepared and, you know, also to not expect that every single person is going to expect you to engage in that.
Yeah.
And if they are, then be okay and learn how to say no and walk away from it if you aren't comfortable and you don't want to do
challenge.
Things like that.
I think that's a really
don't
good
ever
point.
Feel pressured, especially this person's coming right out of college. You're young.
Yeah.
You know, we did hear a story recently about somebody we know who... and it's in the art world that she felt pressure to smoke pot at her boss's house.
Right. Yeah.
And she felt if she didn't, it would have been unacceptable.
Yeah.
Right.
So she did. I mean, the truth was she had a good time, but that's not the case for everybody. Some people get paranoid and they don't want to be under that pressure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's not the music industry. So this is a really important question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and what do you do if that's not your thing? And same with alcohol or same with other drugs.
So what do you do?
I think you could do a number of things. You could say, no, thank you. But then you're going to have to deal with whatever the kickback is right. with that. You can, some people fake it.
I was going to say, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would make believe I was doing it.
Yeah.
And then not. I mean, I do that with alcohol all the time. It right. looks like I'm drinking alcohol, but I'm not.
Pretend you're nursing. That's only the only time when I think that'd be a problem is if they're passing a bong around.
Because you can't fake. Well, you can go to the bathroom.
To fake that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a hard one to fake. But so you can excuse yourself for certain things. But yeah. I mean,
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know that these people would care if this person didn't.
That's right. They may not care.
They may not care. They may say, okay.
Right.
And not have it be a big thing.
I don't know. Well,
it depends. I think it's a case by case. And people who are really addicted, addicts usually like to have company.
Yeah.
So it's those people that mm-hmm. tend to have a hard time if you're not willing, you know, where you'll hear something about it.
Do you think this person should ask?
Do I have to smoke pot if I work here?
Yeah. Yeah. just be blunt and,
no, I think,
and very forward about it.
Well, you could say something like, am I the only person who doesn't smoke pot here? That right. would be a qualifying statement.
It doesn't have
statement.
To be, you know, super serious. They can kind of, you know, play, be fun with it and see kind of the person's reaction to with their response.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Not question it up front. That's just my instinct.
You know, years ago,
it's not legal. I mean, it's not legal.
It's not.
It's all it. Right. It's. I don't think.
But
it's,
it is in any creative anything in the art world, in the music there. World, in fashion. It's there, and there. It's pretty impossible to. There's other things in the music industry that you can do besides working in a studio or rehearsals. Maybe studio isn't for him.
Yeah.
Maybe start exploring different, you know, branches within the music industry that. That aren't in that kind of field. I don't know.
Maybe health clinics that service
the addicts.
That services former musicians. And
but don't you think that in the health field where drugs are so available that they have really big problems?
Well, there's a different form of abuse that can take place certainly in medical.
Yeah, they're not sharing it. I've been sitting around. Sharing it in the office.
Right.
Yeah.
It's probably,
the office
doesn't it's probably smell pure like, and not right. mixed with anything
else. It doesn't
else.
Smell like prescription drugs in the office, I don't think.
It smells like Xanax in here. I don't know.
I think what we're saying is that it's everywhere. You have to pick your battles.
Yeah, so right, it's right. But it is very understandable when you're new to the work world to be a little intimidated by those kinds of environments. And what we're also saying is, you can find out which cultures, you mentioned, Kathy, that if it's a larger, more formal corporate structure, yeah, the likelihood is it's not going to smell like
it'll
weed
be hidden.
In the halls.
It'll be hidden.
Only in the stairwells. Right. So,
the
you
cars.
Know, yeah, you can look for a place where that's not the prevalent way of operating.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's it for this segment mm-hmm. of My Crazy Office.
Crazy. So join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. If you enjoyed this one, please review us on iTunes. And don't forget to send your questions and your stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.